During the time our nation was founded in the late 1700s, there were various opinions about God, just as there are various opinions about God today. Now, one of the popular opinions about God in the late 1700s was the view known as deism, D-E-I-S-M, deism. In fact, our third president, Thomas Jefferson, was a deist. Now, what do deists believe? Well, many deists believe that there is a God who created the universe, but they also believe that this God has long since left this universe alone to change and develop all by itself. Now, deists say there is a God, but many will stress that this God does not reveal his will to us in a special way, nor is he involved in the events of the world. Therefore, nature functions independently of God, and we humans are free to direct our own affairs, for better or for worse. Now, this view of God is still popular among some today. In fact, even we Christians may be tempted to think and live as though we were deists. So when there's an earthquake or a hurricane or a flood, we're tempted to say it was caused by Mother Nature, as though nature functions on its own and God is not really involved in such events. We may also be tempted to think that we humans are free to make our own reality. In fact, this country was based on rugged individuals conquering the wilderness on their own. We don't think of God as being involved in the details of our life, and so we tend to think that we can shape our own destiny. We make our plans, we dream our dreams, we strive for our goals, and we don't really consider God's will in it all. In fact, now we know why deism is such a tempting idea for us. Deep down, we sinners want to run the show. We want to be in control of our lives. But my friends, this is arrogant foolishness. For example, in the past century especially, we have tried to control the forces of nature with our technology. But the recent natural disasters show us how little control we actually have over the environment. In addition, we want to live in such a way that God won't challenge the plans we have in our lives. Oh, we want God to bless our plans, but we don't want him to change our plans or to keep us from fulfilling our dreams and desires. But again, this is sinful foolishness. Let's take nature for example. Not only is nature always going to be beyond our control, the fact is, nature doesn't function on its own. Contrary to what the deists say, nature functions according to the will of God. In our first reading from Isaiah, God says, "I am the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and spread out the earth, and says to the watery deep, be dry, and I will dry up your streams. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things." Now, we can do the best we can to protect ourselves from nature, but in the end, we better trust in the God who created nature and still very much is involved with his creation. Therefore, when we make plans in life, we are very foolish if we don't make those plans by praying, "Thy will be done." I want you to listen carefully to this section of Scripture from James and think about how it applies to your own life. James writes, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. while you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. I think of my life and how many times throughout the years I have made plans and dreamed dreams and scheduled out my week and month and year, and very often didn't stop to consider praying, "Thy will be done." We are Christians, but sometimes we are guilty of living and thinking like deists. And this is sinful boasting. We have sinned against God, the Lord who creates darkness and disaster. And contrary to sinful deistic thinking, God is very much involved in this world, and He could crush us at any time. During the days of Moses, the Pharaoh in Egypt had to learn this the hard way. We sinners have every reason to fear God if we've been ignoring Him or trying to control Him. Think about it. Even though we're Christians, we're often guilty of putting God into a box called Sunday morning, where we leave Him behind and then live the rest of our week as though He's still in that little box. However, when we need God, then we treat God like a genie in a lamp and expect Him to pop out and grant us our wishes. This is a great sin. The God who does all things has every right to damn us. But this same God gives us a message of mercy this morning. I want you to listen carefully to the first verse of our Old Testament reading and think of how it applies to you, because God's speaking to you. God says, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb." Did you hear that? God formed you in the womb. That's how intimately involved He is in your life. And He also says that He is your Redeemer. Even though God doesn't have to save any one of us sinners, He has revealed to us a wonderful gospel. God has freely chosen to have mercy on us sinners. But God has also chosen to allow us to reject His mercy. And sadly, that's what many do. But just because we decide to reject God doesn't mean we're in control. I remember one time meeting a guy when I was working as a security guard during college, and he said, "Yeah, I've rejected God altogether. I don't believe He exists, and I like it because now that means I'm master of my own destiny." Little did he know, God was still in control, even though he thought God didn't exist. In our reading from Isaiah, we heard about King Cyrus, a pagan king who did not believe in the Lord. Cyrus thought he was in control, but the Lord used Cyrus to serve His own purposes. God actually used King Cyrus to bless His own people, Israel. Listen to what God says of Cyrus. "For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me." Simply put, God used a pagan king to bring blessing to His people, Israel. Now, what do we learn from this? It means for us that the unbelievers of this world think they're in control, but they're not. Even though they reject God's grace, God still guides their lives, and they can do nothing apart from His will. And so if God wants the unbelievers of this world to bless us Christians, they will bless us. And if God wants the unbelievers of this world to persecute us, Christians, they will persecute us. But even then, we believers must remember that God works in all things for the good of those who love Him. That's why we must repent and cling to Christ when we are guilty of thinking and living like deists. My friends, God is your Redeemer. He sent His Son to save you. And God doesn't want you to end up like the people of Sodom that Jesus mentioned in our gospel reading. Remember, they rejected God continually and they were judged. Jesus says that because He wants you to repent and live. In fact, that's why you're here today. God is the one who called you here. My friends, you being here is no coincidence, nor is your being here an act of your free and independent will. God wanted you to hear His word. So listen again to this part of our reading from Romans, where Paul quotes these words of God from Isaiah. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have been like Sodom. God has been merciful to you. You are His descendants. Don't let the devil tempt you to take that for granted. Yes, my friends, God has saved you. He is your Redeemer. And the message today is that God does it all, and He does it all for you. He formed you in the womb. That means your life is not an accident, nor are you the master of your own destiny. God has a plan for you, and that plan is to love you for all eternity. And to make that happen, God sent His Son to the cross to die in your place of damnation that you might be His own. And so, my friends, the deists are wrong. God is still very much involved in our world, even to the point of taking on human flesh and dying on the cross, even to the point of giving you His own body and blood this morning. Jesus died for all your sins, even our sins of deistic thinking and living. And that means you can know and believe that the God who does all things does them for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a few moments,